Good morning. Fantastic. We come expectant to meet with God and just to spend time in his presence, and he never lets us down, does he? No, fantastic. Excellent. If you're a visitor amongst us, welcome. It's great to have you with us. You've joined us partway through our series going through the Gospel of Matthew. And that's the cue for everyone who's got a Bible to grab your Bibles. We're on to chapter 24 on the book of Matthew. Fantastic. And Matthew 24, up until this point, Jesus has been speaking quite practically, giving lots of advice and helping people, challenging people in their relationship with God. And we get to chapter 24, and he brings a prophetic word in response to questions from the disciples. It actually covers chapter 24 and 25. Marshall's going to be picking up the story next week. So we're going to look at the first part of that, this chapter and this story this week. 51 verses in chapter 24, and when we get into this, you'll probably see that actually every verse in its own right is a sermon and could last us a whole year. But so we just do this kind of high-level overview this morning. It's on the kind of subject of the end of the age, the return of Jesus. And, you might have your own viewpoints on this. You might be a premillennial dispensationalist. That was good, wasn't it? You're impressed with that? Postmillennial, all that kind of stuff. If you want to discuss stuff like that in a bit more detail, then Word Plus is for you. Okay? And how's this for an advance invitation to go on Word Plus? The next time, because it's on a two-year cycle, that they're looking at eschatology and the future and the things of the end time. We'll be in Durham in April 2013. Okay, on the 23rd of April. So book in now. Okay, if you want to look more at this whole thing. But also, of course, this week in your growth groups, what great discussions you're going to have. The end times. Fantastic. Is it half term? You're not meeting. It's half term for the kids, not for you lot. It's rubbish. Okay. Well, you get a double dose next week. Marshall, very hard questions next week, okay, on the end times. Excellent. Just to put chapter 24 into context in where it appears, chapter 21 is the account of the entry into Jerusalem and Palm Sunday. So we've dotted around the chapters a little bit as we went through Easter. We've now come back to chapter 24. So this probably happened on the Tuesday of Holy Week, Palm Sunday. Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Monday, spent time in the temple. Tuesday, spent time in the temple. Chapter 24 picks up the story at the end of the day. Okay, let's read some of this together. The first few verses. Jesus left the temple, was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these? Do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age?" Let's just hold it there for a minute and just take account of what's happening here. Jesus left the temple. Okay, it's probably the last time that he was at the temple. He'd seen all the pollution and sin and all the rubbish that was going on. He cleared it out previously, but this time he actually left the temple. Probably not to go back. Fulfilling prophetic words, perhaps, from Jeremiah. "Be warned, Jerusalem, lest I turn from you in disgust." And Hosea, "Woe to them when I depart from them." here is Jesus leaving the temple, and the disciples go with him. They follow him, and I've got a PowerPoint somewhere, Pete. Are you able to, the PowerPoint? Can we bring the PowerPoint up? No, blank look. Simon's now running. Excellent. No, faster. Come on. So just whilst they sort out the PowerPoint, that'd be great. So they take the road, they leave the temple. Jesus leaves the temple. Disciples go with him. Shall I go and help? This is good. So I'm going to reenact Jesus leaving the temple now.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, it's blank.
Dun, 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 dun. Go on. Go on. Bum, 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 bum. Okay, it's official. They've broken my PowerPoint. Oh, no. How do you do that? That works. Ah. Okay. Okay, excellent. Good. You like that, do you? If you're listening to this on the recording, it's great to have you with us. You're not missing a thing. So there we go. Okay. So they took the road to Bethany, and the road they took up the Mount of Olives, okay, to the east side of the city of Jerusalem. And on that road up the Mount of Olives, they would have had this glorious view of the city and the temple, which was on the east side of the city. And the disciples, for whatever reason, point out the buildings of the temple to Jesus. Obviously, there's something going on here. You know, Jesus left the temple. Perhaps, you know, he was a bit angry with everything that was going on. Jesus, the disciples pointing the buildings out to them. And he brings this first prophetic word. Do you not see that these stones, there won't be one left upon another. The whole thing will be destroyed. And so the disciples come to him on the Mount of Olives privately, and they ask him, well, when will these things be? That's the first question they ask. When will this happen? Hey! Okay, can I take control now? Ting. Excellent. Excellent. There you go. See, I had a map and everything. And I had a big pointy stick. See? So here we go. Temple. Okay, as I was just saying, you must be really enjoying this if you're listening to the recording. Mount of Olives here, on the road to Bethany over here. Bethage is probably where they might have been staying overnight, so they might come out of the gate round here and up the Mount of Olives. There you go. That was good, wasn't it? Cool. And the disciples come to him privately and ask three questions. Good. And the first of these questions, when will these things be? He's been speaking about the destruction of the temple. When will these things be? And the answer that he gives, he doesn't actually mention this. He doesn't actually give an answer. Jesus doesn't respond to their first question. But actually, we know through history that Jerusalem and the temple was destroyed in AD 70 by the Roman armies under Titus. Viv here is celebrating. She got that one right. She knew that. The temple's destroyed, AD 70, under Titus and the Roman armies. When Jesus speaks and says something is going to happen, it happens. He said, not one stone will be left upon another. And it came true, AD 70. Let's look at another one of these questions. I'm actually going to take them slightly out of order here, because they asked, what will be the sign of your coming, and what will be the sign of the close of the age? So let's look at the close of the age. Because the scripture continues. Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And see that you're not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these are but the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver up to you tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." The disciples asked this question: what will be the sign of the close of the age? And Jesus responds to them basically in three different groups, three different signs. Hey. And the first one is false signs. False signs. He says in verse 5, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray." And I'm sure you can think of different people throughout history, or even quite recently, who are false prophets or claim to be something they're not. So I just find my notes. And so-called saviors have been surfacing a lot recently. There was actually an article in Time magazine quite recently that's saying actually in Jerusalem alone, there's a psychiatric hospital that deals with over 50 people a year claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be the one who has returned. Many examples: cult leaders, false preachers, false prophets. And when Jesus says something once, you listen. When he repeats it, you sit up and pay attention. And when he says it three times, you know he's serious and there's something serious going on here. Verse 5, "Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ.' They'll lead many astray." Verse 11, "Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray." And then verse 24, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. So if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. If they say, 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it." And when Jesus says it here this third time, he mentions that these false prophets will even perform great signs and wonders to lead people astray. But these aren't the things of God. These are the things of the devil. These are the things of his evil forces. False signs leading people astray. Jesus said, this will be a sign of the coming of the end of the age. The second thing he says, bad signs. Bad signs. When you look through what he's saying here, you will hear of wars, rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes. And these are just but the beginning of birth pains. Many will fall away, betray one another. They will hate one another. Many false prophets. Yeah, we've had that. Sorry. Lawlessness will be increased. Bad signs. What are the signs of the end of the age? The disciples ask. All these bad things. And I'm sure you'll agree that these natural disasters in the world just seem to be on the increase. Every day in the news, there seems to be some earthquake somewhere in the world, or tsunami, or hurricane, not just destroying areas and cities, but people losing their lives. Daily occurrence. And The news is that these things will only get worse as time increases until we reach the end of the age. Knowledge of what Jesus is saying here probably doesn't help those people caught up in all these disasters. But actually then, these disasters shouldn't come as any surprise to us that they're actually happening in the world. Because Jesus said they would happen. Jesus said there would be earthquakes and famines, that there would be wars. And as we've already seen, when he said that the temple would be destroyed, it came true. When he says there will be earthquakes and wars, they come true. These things happen. This really is an encouraging message to you this morning. I hope you're... But it's not all bad news. Okay. The third area that he speaks about are actually good signs. Something positive. What will be the signs of the close of the age? Well, verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. And then the end will come. And of course, we need the gospel so much to be preached, don't we? We need people to hear about Jesus. Because did you pick up what it said in verse 12? It said in verse 12, lawlessness will be increased. The love of many will grow cold. Think of a world where there is no love, where people just don't demonstrate love anymore. They just grow cold. Nations without love. Societies, communities without love. Families. I mean, we've heard some appalling stories in the news recently, haven't we? Parents killing their own children. Love will grow cold. Are we seeing these things? Are we heading towards the close of the age? Well, when you look at the news reports, you'd say yes. But the good news is the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And of course, the way we understand nations is not just countries, but people groups, different tribes and languages. It actually says in my version of the Bible, in Daniel chapter 7, about different people groups and languages. And all these different groups will hear the gospel message before the end of time will come. As we approach the end times, there's going to be a marked increase in world evangelization. Are we seeing that already? Think about China and the increase of the church in China at the moment. Unprecedented growth. And other areas as well. Latin America, perhaps. Africa. Soviet Union and what's happening there. The gospel is being preached. And why did Jesus say this? Because he wants everyone to hear the good news of the loving Father, what he's done for each of us, for every person on this planet. It says in 2 Peter, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. We have a loving God who wants to everyone on this planet to hear of his love for them. And of course, whose responsibility is it for the gospel to be preached to all nations? Hey! It is. It's ours. Jesus has given us that commission at the end of Matthew 28, 19. Very familiar words. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And quite often we just leave that scripture there, but verse 20 carries on, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Isn't that good news? Jesus is with us to the end of the age. Through false signs and everything that's going on there that's rubbish, through all the bad stuff that's going on, wars and earthquakes and famines. But in seeing the gospel being proclaimed, we go with Jesus walking with us. That should give us a great encouragement that our God is with us to see his gospel, his good news proclaimed. So this third question then, what will be the sign of your coming, of the return of the king? Let's go to verse 27 and read from there. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. What will be the signs of the coming, the return of Jesus? Well, these things, the close of the age and the return of Jesus, are linked together. In some respects, the signs are the same signs. False signs, bad signs, good signs. These things also usher in the return of Jesus. What will it look like? Well, he tells us explicitly here. The whole world, the whole planet is going to notice when Jesus comes back. How do we know those people in Jerusalem, in the psychiatric hospital, aren't the real returned Messiah? Well, because the whole world hasn't noticed. The whole world hasn't noticed. There's going to be lightning. It's going to look like lightning. There's going to be, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven. There's something in the heavenlies there about bowing down and coming before Jesus as he returns. Powers of the heavens will be shaken. Clouds, power, great glory. Send out his angels with a loud trumpet call. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? How many angels do you think there are? 50 million, each with a trumpet? That's going to be loud. That is going to be loud. He's going to send out his angels with a loud trumpet. The whole world is going to notice. The whole world over the next few days are noticing the Jubilee celebrations of the Queen. They are going to be looking at this great regatta this afternoon on the Thames and noticing what's going on there. But how much more will the whole world notice the return of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus, when he comes back and the whole heavenlies shake and the angels come with their trumpets? And also, it's going to be a literal event as well. This isn't figurative language that he's using here. It's going to be literal. It tells us in Acts, this Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way you saw him going into heaven. Jesus returned to heaven as a man in bodily form. Do you remember that sermon of Morris's, when he was on about them just standing there looking at the soles of his feet? Do you remember that? I remember that. But he's going to come back the same way, as a man, accompanied this time by all the angels and the whole of the heavenly hosts. When will he return? Well, he tells us that as well. Verse 36. Concerning the day and the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son. Jesus doesn't know himself. But the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be at the checkout at Tesco's. One will be taken, one will be left. Therefore, stay awake. If you do not know on what day your Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known in part, in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake. And he would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is not coming at an hour. The Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. His second coming will be swift and sudden. There's no point trying to calculate a date. It clearly says we don't know. Those people that say it's going to be the 21st of December 2012, well, I think they're a bit deceived. The end of the world probably isn't going to be then unless God says so. Nobody knows when it's going to be. There's going to be no last-minute opportunity for repentance or bargaining with God. He's going to come. He's going to take those that believe in him with him. And the only safe way and safe choice is to invite Jesus into your life today and become a follower of him. Because actually, it could be this afternoon whilst you're having your tea. It could be for years to come. No one knows when Jesus will return. And he will come back. The Old Testament prophesied many times about the Saviour who would come. And Jesus came. The heavenlies then were shaken. A star appeared. And why did Jesus come the first time? He came to die on a cross as the ultimate as the ultimate sacrifice for our sin, for my sin. And again, at that time, the heavenlies were shaken. The sky turned black, didn't it? Sky turned black. The heavenlies were shaken at the power of God. It was accomplished for each of us here. That Jesus died for us, that we may be forgiven. He paid that perfect sacrifice, that we can be forgiven for our sins and come to the Father and have a relationship with him and stand pure and holy in his sight. For those of us that have already made that decision, invited Jesus into our lives and decided to be Jesus' followers, well, what's our part to play in this? Is it just to sit around idly waiting? Well, no, we've already spoken about that. The gospel needs to be preached to the ends of the world, ends of the earth. We have to stay awake. We have to be alert. We have to be ready. If Jesus was going to come back at tea time, are you ready? Are you ready to see his return? How's your relationship with Jesus today? As I said, Marshall's going to pick up the story next week. This little account here of the servant that we read, did I read that? No, the master and the thief in the night, is the first of four parables. Which carry on over into chapter 25, which then carries on to the final judgment, and speaking about judgment at the end of the age. So Marshall, I'm glad to say, is going to pick that up next week. We're going to sing a song in a minute, just as a response to this. Ed, if you want to bring a band up. But just to close, I'm just going to read you a quote by John Hosier. It can be exhilarating to try and imagine the return of Christ, for the New Testament gives us enough material to paint a picture. The whole universe will be on the shake, preceding the return of Jesus. The Christ whose glory will fill the universe always disturbs creation. When Jesus was born, oh, I've already said this. When Jesus was born, a star appeared in the sky. When he died, darkness fell across the earth. And when he returns, stars will fall and planets will shake. A fanfare will announce his arrival. The world will hear the trumpet call of God, and the archangel will shout to announce his coming. I imagine his appearance in the sky will produce joy on the faces of believers and alarm on the part of those who have not believed. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, speaks of the splendor of his appearance, and John, as he writes the Revelation, describes the returning Christ as seated on a great white horse. His eyes are a blaze of fire, his robe is dipped in blood, and accompanied by the armies of heaven, he will return, King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Isn't that fantastic? This morning we've heard a number of invitations just to think about that, about forgiveness, about fear. Jesus is the one who came to die on the cross to set us free from those things, to pour out forgiveness, to pour out his love, to set us free from fear. That opportunity is there this morning. As we sing this song, if you want to, come for prayer for anything, then I'll be just over there, or there's other people around. Or if you want to come and speak to myself or Simon or any of the other elders, please do come and speak to us afterwards about anything that's been said this morning, if that's challenged you in any way. Shall we stand together and let's worship God.